Blog Talk Radio. everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journey Man here at Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome. How you doing? Hello, everybody. If you want to call in for a great insightful reading, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And for a private reading for only a dollar a minute, call 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com, or my email address is psychicxjourneyman@live.com. Thank you for all joining us, and that kind of stuff. We're going to get to the callers here in a couple of minutes, but we're just like putting a little situation, so I'm putting some things together. We're going to go over some stuff and some information about this book. It's by Doreen Virtue, and it's called Archangels and Ascended Masters. And a lot of people are the idea of focusing on connecting with their angels and their guidance a little more. So sometimes the idea of having a little bit more insight to the situation can actually help you, where you have a little more essence, any idea what kind of guidance you have around you actually has a tendency to help you connect to the essence within yourself. I was sitting here looking at the archangels, and there's about 15 archangels in this book itself, going from all different kinds of religions, insights of all the people and what they've been focusing on. And some of these angels can actually be backed up by a lot of history and a lot of other things that go with it, as in personal accounts and that kind of stuff. Like, I think Archangel Gabriel was the one who actually delivered the message to Mary that she was going to have a child, which we all know is Jesus. And then we have the other ones too, is Archangel Michael. That was, a lot of us all know about Archangel Michael, but I don't think we really know the insights about what they're all about, the intensity, the situation, things like that. Because I was trying to look at the idea of Archangel Ariel. Ariel's name means lion or lioness of God. And this archangel is like one of those things, predictably, is often associated with lions. Also animals, connections, protection of animals, nature, things like that. When Ariel is near, you might begin seeing references to or visions of lions around you. In fact, some artwork portrays Ariel as having a lion's head. So it gives you so if you are a person who has a tendency to have association with these kind of signs, then more like the Archangel Ariel is around you, helping you, assisting you. I was just saying protecting, guiding, and helping you. This archangel is also associated with the winds. So when Ariel is around, you may feel or hear the wind as a sign. Or maybe that you're out at wintertime and all of a sudden this warm breeze hits you right across the face, which is almost like a welcome event. That's usually the warmth represents the ideal of love and the protection around you. So keep those things in mind too. So as we go through and answer, as we're doing readings and stuff, we'll be going over this stuff. And if you have any ideas or any stories you'd like to share with us too about your own encounters with angels, please don't hesitate to share with us, okay? So there's four. If you're in the chat room and you'd like to ask a couple questions, no problem, a couple questions. But when it comes to the idea of doing readings, the best thing to do is call in. And if you want to call in tonight and get a reading from me, get some insights of the situation that you're going through, just give us a call at 646-721-9031. And we've given the information out for private readings too, which we charge a dollar a minute. So if you're a person who would like to get a private reading with me for only a dollar a minute, call 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com, or you can contact me through my email address. It's psychicxjourneyman@live.com. If you're in Colorado or coming to Colorado for vacation, and you happen to visit us in Manitou Springs, we do have a shop here where you can actually get readings in person at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. Come to the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop, where we can do those things for you in person. We do life coaching, relationship counseling, relationship readings, palm readings, angel card readings, past life readings. So if you're looking for something in a situation of working with somebody one-on-one in person, just come to the shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado, right across from Mushroom Mondays and right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So looking forward to seeing you. Say, hey, let's get back to the idea. We got callers. And see, let's go to our first caller at 720 area code. You're on the here. Welcome. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello. My name is Michelle, and I'm calling from Colorado.
Yes, and you are in the Denver area, correct?
Yes, I am.
And I recognize it because if you heard what we were talking about, I'm actually located in Manitou Springs.
Yes, I did. You guys have a shop. What is it called? Mystic? What's the name of it?
The Mystic Closet Psychic Shop.
Okay, yeah.
So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, haven't we talked to you before?
I think I have called before. But I'm not
you
sure if
familiar.
I spoke with you. I think it was, or it could be. No, I don't know.
Well, there's other shows out here that have several different people who do, like, what's that one show called? Psychics Going Wild. They have, like, four or five hosts.
Yeah, they do. That's right.
And they do shows and that kind of stuff, so you probably talk to different women. I think there's at least one guy, a girl, maybe three. And I've actually been on that show myself. And I actually know a couple of people there, so. But on this one.
Oh, okay, fine.
Either you talk to me or you talk to a woman. Because we do have a... Heather, my co-host, is usually the person that comes in here from time to time. She's
oh, then
to
I have to talk to you. But yeah, then I definitely talked to you before.
Yeah, because there's somebody
because
else to talk to.
Only you and a female. I haven't talked to a female at this number before. So it must have been you.
Yes. I was actually going to ask her to join me on this show tonight because it was something I was going to do this morning at 11. You know, it's just one of those things where you get up and go, let's reschedule the show, but... They still tried to do a show today, but she was in a car accident today, so she couldn't make
it. Oh, is she okay?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm trying to figure out how to answer that question, because she really wasn't what we say okay before she was in the accident, so maybe she's better. Anyway, she has a notion.
That's
one of those situations.
That's horrible.
That's one of the situations. We got to look at it for what it is. It could have been, but it didn't. It was just one of those things where...
Yeah.
Nowadays, these cars are just so full of airbags, you have more of a danger of getting hurt by the airbag than you do whatever hits you.
That's
and
true.
For what
the way that it hits, you know, people have actually been killed from airbags.
Oh, yeah, no. They said that actually when the airbag went off on the front, on the passenger side, it actually broke the windshield.
Wow.
So, you know,
well, I'll definitely
kind of
pray
crazy,
for
you know.
Her. I sure will.
Yeah, she was in the back seat getting tossed around like a freaking salad. But
yeah. Ow.
I always have a tendency to look at life. Right. I'm just saying what the situation was. She just went through. I have a tendency to look at people's lives and the idea of what causes accidents. And actually today I was going to call her up and see if her and her son's girlfriend could actually give me a ride to Walmart. And then all of a sudden I got the notion not to do that anymore. And then I got a text from her saying she'd been in a car accident. So it was like, I said, isn't it kind of crazy
now
if you listen
why.
To Yeah, if you listen to guides, you listen. But it's also a sign. Okay, right now I've been seeing 26s everywhere. And it's like one of the things where they keep telling me, it's not the ideal looking at the emphasis of the 26. You already know what 26 means. You already know what it's connected to. It's the ideal of the signs are now for more of relaxing and letting go. And whatever's about
to
happen.
Tell me what 26 means. Wait, help. I need help. What does that mean? I don't know. What is
actually,
it connected to? What does it mean?
If you knock it down to a figure eight, it actually means infinity. It also it's also an indication of... See, people go, ooh, infinity, life, you know, basically infinite possibilities. Also, it emphasizes on the ideal of realistically. I was doing this with a lot of people in the ideal of going over relationships. And I have a tendency to listen to the world. I have a tendency to listen to worldly psychiatrists and psychotherapists and that kind of stuff on the idea of this two-way street. You know, a relationship is a two-way street, and they have a tendency to get mad at me when I say, no, it's not.
No.
A two-way street.
Oh,
a two-way street.
Tell me,
it stops.
How is it not? I need to know.
Okay. A two-way street is infinite with accidents, obstacles, stop signs, speed bumps. Okay?
Oh.
When you sit here, but see, we are so freaking conditioned by the world in government and everybody else
right.
who keeps telling us what is the norm. Okay, if you go to the world and ask them what the norm is, they always give you something as limitation. A two-way street is limited, okay? It goes back and forth, okay? They say you have to have that continuous back and forth. They don't realize what they did sit there in contradiction of the ideal. Infinity means of the flow of life, where it continuously, infinitely continues to go forward. So the idea of all the terminology we have because of psychiatrists and self-help books, they've given us these terminology that are actually working against us in the ideal two-way streets.
That's right.
They talk about infinite possibilities. At the same time, they focus on
limitations. I mean, if you ever get deep into definitions, it's like ridiculous. It's to enslave your mind from the very beginning.
Yeah, so I try to simplify everything by saying love between two people is an infinity symbol of continuous love that spontaneously, by being connected to each other's heart,
yeah.
it actually explains what we see as connection as spirit. Because I was talking to this one dummy, and he was like saying, you know, an attraction, a physical attraction, only lasts between 6 months to a year. And I said, you know something?
Yeah.
You're correct. But there's more to relationships than having sex, my friend. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you're talking about a physical attraction. And I said, that's what's so screwy with the world right now. Because
they're having the wrong kind of sex. Because if you have actual spiritual, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's beyond
the spiritual comes first, physical comes second. Because two souls are crying out for each other.
But
they connect
they're
spiritually.
Both intertwined. You know, they're both, it's both acts are intertwined. And so there's no way that there should be a point that you come to. Year, I mean, beyond years. And if it's real love, it doesn't matter how many years. You just
I'm just saying, real love is when two people share themselves.
Yes.
Which means the two, the
all
more you
good,
get to know each
all
other.
All bad, because it's not all beautiful, all of it. The ugly,
well, people keep saying
beautiful.
Our love is getting stronger. You ever heard people say that our love between us is getting stronger? The reason they see it is getting stronger. They don't realize it's you opening up, letting down resistance, letting down walls, and starting to realize all the possibilities, to realize in the process of two spirits connecting, there are no limitations. The world tells you, see what I'm saying? The world sets you up and says, you know something? Your limitations on the go. See, this is why we have divorce. That's why we have all these relationships. That's why we have all this freaking drama and everything else. It's because psychiatrists, it's like one of those things, it's always something that's always good when it's created, that somebody has a tendency to exploit it. To the point where this is what we call talk about money being put first and service second. So service has a tendency to suffer because people are more focused on money than they are service, not realizing service will automatically give you exactly what you want by putting it out there, which as you give, you always receive. You know, I had this one lady, she said, well, the Bible says you should give, and that's all I want to do. I said, why don't you do this and get off your high horse and realize by giving, you have to be open to receiving. So someone else can do the same.
Because it's
so the
coming
world can
back
be a giving
whether
world.
You want it or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if someone made a statement like that, maybe they don't receive. And in order to not have to feel disappointed in that fact, you know, maybe she does just focus on her. You know what I mean? Because there are some people who, depending on whatever their issue is and what they have to work out in this life, you know, they may have a lot to work out, so it may be that they're dealing with issues that they're not receiving
as they would
if they didn't have these
I'm
issues
just saying,
that they needed to work through.
Yeah, but if you make, like I said before, let's make it simple. A person can't love another unless they love themselves. That's acceptance. So therefore, someone can accept you too. By the work you do for yourself, you will set an example and a reflection where the other person follows suit. It's like, okay, picture the symbol 8. Now divide it. If you take the 8 and pull it apart, you have two circles. The circles are representation of omega, which is the ideal complete pure love, which is the ideal God. And then you look at that within yourself and say, okay, well, how can I have that symbol within me? Because Christians or religious will sit here and tell you that you are separate from God.
Right.
You're not. You can't sit here and acknowledge God without acknowledging yourself. You can't acknowledge yourself without acknowledging God. So therefore, you say, I love myself. But in the true sense, when you say, I love myself, you're saying, I love God. I love God. So if I love God, I have to love myself. And I was searching, you know, it's kind of amazing. I went through this little thing where I have a troubled time with the situation. I have to distance myself from them because in the idea of churches and that kind of stuff, it's great, man. As long as you can walk in there and feel loved. If I walk in there and I can see the judgmental, I turn around and walk
out. Exactly.
Because what they don't realize.
I don't even, I'm not going to say I have anything against the church, but the thing that I say is good is if people go there to fellowship and that does something for them, that's wonderful. But to me, a place that constantly spews out complete lies, why would I go there in order to enhance myself when you are just literally lying to me constantly?
How are you going to do it? Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
What I was saying, you know, and then I heard him say, what was it? He said, there's no such thing as pure love on this planet. And I said, well, if that's the case, and the reason I consider to look at you and say you're full of it, because in the Bible it says when the disciples asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They were talking about the Ten Commandments. He went away from the Ten Commandments and said, the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Basically, love. Love, okay? And when you
and
do that.
This planet, I mean, that we're on a certain dimension in this planet, but this planet is a whole lot more than we've ever, ever known. So for them to even say that shows an ignorance beyond, because in multiple dimensions right here on this planet, let alone the rest of them, their love is everywhere, and we are love. We just have forgotten it and really need to get back to it.
That's what I was sitting asking the lady the other day. I said, what is true love? And she goes, I don't know. What is true love? It's something you create between two people. I said, no, it's not. It's you. Your soul, your spirit is energy. It's the energy of love from the Creator who is pure. So therefore, you are perfect in spirit. It's your body that tells you otherwise and the influences you have around you. But if you sit there and focus on the idea, why are people so focused on getting closer to spirit? It's because the idea they realize that once you tap into that, you don't have to worry about dimensions. You don't have to worry about anything and everything. It's like your arm. You don't ask your arm to move. You just move it.
That's right.
And your abilities and the way you love should be the same. There shouldn't be too much thinking going on. Instead of going to do it, I just go out and do it. It's like I was saying before. Take the two circles. That represents the person you're with and you. The circles represent the ideal of loving oneself unconditionally. And then when you love yourself unconditionally, guess what? Like love always does, it attracts everything. Every good
That's
thing
right.
to you, and therefore it will attract a significant other who's also a person who loves himself unconditionally. You take those two people and you put them together, you get a figure eight. See, they love themselves, so it's easy to love another, and they open up and they connect that. So you look at the energy traveling between their hearts as a figure eight. It's continuous. There's no two-way street. It just continuously
right.
keeps going on. So a lot of people have a tough time not realizing that. When two people
wow,
split up.
Wow, you know what? Hold on. I just realized how deep what you are saying literally is. I just caught it. I just see what you mean by no, it is not a two-way street. Because we had a whole conversation, and I kind of forgot where we were going. But now that you've just broke that down, that is so deep. And
Thank
I
you.
Stand corrected because I said it was a two-way street. And that doesn't happen to me very often. So congratulations to you tonight.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, that's the whole idea, isn't it, to enlighten other people to see it for themselves so
yes.
therefore they can act, they can
yes.
incorporate in their own lives to make the changes
well,
they've been looking
all right.
for.
Mm. I stand corrected. Yes, I do.
Just the idea of acknowledging it's good enough for me.
And that
you know,
was so
things.
Beautiful, too. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps people understand why it's so hard to separate from people because you never stop loving anyone. You just make
yeah.
a choice to either go forward or to change it or correct it. But most, I mean,
and
every
that's
person
another
that
programming,
you.
Too, is that people are programmed mm-hmm. to think that just because you know, this journey with a certain somebody is no longer continuing on, that there's an issue and all ties have to be broken. we have journeys, and, you know, we're going to take our paths, and if there was one time that we had love, we can always have that. But, you know, when journeys end, they just end.
Yeah, so I was going to talk about the idea of money, too, that I noticed that in my own life. If you focus on the idea of what you're manifesting on constantly, it can work against you. But if you sit there and say, okay, I'm going to declare today, I'm going to do 20 readings in my shop, and then I just say, hey, it's done, it's so. It's so, it's done, so be it, so it is. And then I sit there and go right into action, which is not the idea of chasing, chump, but it's the idea of just opening up and talking to people and doing that kind of thing. But also living your own life. So it means if you're in a like for example, I'm in the shop and I just get to, I just get a notion to go hiking. This is your guide saying you have to have a full life. You can't spend 20 hours or your life in that freaking shop thinking you're going to get this, this, and this. It's actually the time you spend outside the shop that actually attracts you because you're living your life. You love what you're doing. I love going hiking.
Yeah, because when you have that joy. And that's what the problem is. No, there's so many of us that just are not in our joy. We're definitely trying to find our path back to it, but that is really what it's about, is constantly living your joy. And everything comes within that, and you spread that to whoever you come in contact with, because that's what you're here for, is to bring that love, bring that power to everyone that you ever have come across your path, even if you don't speak a word to them, but just a smile. You know, all of that is what really counts. Because when you're living in that joy, you don't even focus because you don't have to. It's constantly coming back to you because you're constantly overflowing with it. You have to give it out.
Which is the term
is
overthinking.
A terrible way of thinking.
No, I was sitting there talking. I was watching this one show. But the girl teaches this guy how to shoot a bow, okay? And she says, stop thinking about it and just go with the flow and follow your heart and what you feel. And the idea of connecting to your emotions and your abilities to realize, like, she takes the bow, she shoots these freaking tree limbs off there like there's nothing. But if you watch how she does it, she just goes with the flow and she just knows where the arrow is going to go. But when people think about it, they're thinking about it, what if it doesn't? I wish people would do this. What if has two sides. You can either focus on the what if on the negative side or the what if on the positive side. People always tend to go, what if it doesn't work out the way I want it to? What if it does?
Yeah,
why
you
is
should
it so
never
hard
ever think
about
what if at all. And when she's shooting those bows, I mean, the one to really do it and, you know, take it into another dimensional thing is they become the bow. They can literally close their eyes because we don't see with these two anyway. They become it, and that's how they achieve it. They don't even think of where it has to go. They just literally merge with it. You know, where I'm at it, they become it, and that's how it happens. And that's a glorious thing. If you've ever been able to feel letting go like that, and just doing something like that, that's why art is so important, because you can get lost in that, just like archery or anything else. When you come to that point where you're completely lost and you go into that realm, that is a beautiful thing. And it doesn't happen enough, you know?
Everything's going forward. Even if you shoot it over your shoulder, it's still going forward into a target.
Yeah.
So it's the idea the arrow represents life itself. And the idea, once you focus on a thought, focus on an ideal, and you let it go and have a lot of faith behind that, it's always going to end up on the bullseye.
That's right.
And when we start thinking about the situation, it's also like the idea of realizing that I've heard a lot of this thing, especially with relationships, of people always analyzing everything instead of taking it for what it is. And I have a girl right now who talks about this guy not texting her. But if you sit here and look at the situation, this woman is so fixated on her expectations of what he should do, she's not allowing him to be who he is.
Yeah.
And on both sides of the equation, you can't take one out of the equation and then judge the other, set the facts, you know, like looking at her going, she's fixated on the whole thing because she's so fearful she's going to lose the guy. She doesn't realize in the process of these expectations and these fears, she's actually creating those blocks to keep pushing each other farther and farther away. Okay, but on the other side, there's also a connection between the two of them. So he sees it. What's he going to do about it? Is he going to feed into it, allow her to do those things? Or is he going to sit down? He can have it two ways. He can either walk away completely and not learn a damn thing, or he can sit there and focus on the situation of sitting down having a conversation with somebody because of what he sees, what he feels, and say, hey, this is like you're having a lot of craziness here going on because of they had a previous past with each other too. So I think she's thinking he's going to do the same thing. Now he's disappeared for 2 days. And I sort of look at the situation where she's basically saying that she has an ex-boyfriend harassing her. But we also have to look at the perception. She says harassment, but she's also trying to get her current boyfriend to do something about it. And I think it's one of those things where she's creating this situation to see if he really loves her. Yeah, by
like
using
drama.
Drama. But, you know, one thing we have to realize, too, that drama, the word drama itself, there's positive drama and negative drama. The negative drama we're used to is sitcoms and arguing and fighting and people doing stupid shit, and then how people look at, ooh, look, they're arguing like they're married. See, our perception sucks. And you can see real clearly of why are we failing. We don't realize the words that are coming out of our freaking mouths is causing the creation of what's around us, and it's also creating the opportunities to fail. But it's all
and
coming from us.
Not just out of our mouths. By the time we formulate it out of our mouths, that's just making it stronger. But just the thoughts itself, you know, whatever we're thinking before we even speak it is still also doing something. But that's another reason for all the distractions. You are distracted so that you focus on a bunch of craziness instead of focusing on the simple things that you need to so that you can alter the silliness.
Yeah.
Because it's just silly.
I was focusing on it myself. When I started seeing the 28th, I started taking deep breaths and realizing something's about to happen. It's just signs that are saying something's about to happen. So something's already been created. It's about ready to come into reality. But the first time I question it, I'm going to send a ripple of doubt through it. But as long as I see the signs for what they are, which means take a deep breath, relax what you've been focusing on, and what you've been hoping to happen, and you even say, I have faith this is going to happen, and then I start noticing, too, that when I see the 26s, what's the thing that pops in my mind at that moment? And it's a particular woman. And I've been focusing on the situation of how it's going to manifest into reality to the point where I started saying, something tells me that I shouldn't try to figure what it is. I should just look at the situation. And I've already seen a connection with the woman itself. I mean, I was looking at the 8. I looked at the tarot cards, the eighth card in the higher arcana is the Justice card, and this girl has a son named Justice who I've actually seen him wear outfits with eighth on him.
Yeah, that's right.
I also look at other people. I've seen very clear signs with this one too. I've also seen her actions. I've also when I see her walk by, even when she ignores me, at this time, it's like paying attention to what you feel, not what you see. What you see is what they're presenting to you because they don't want to admit how they feel. So you can't go by the action because the action is a phony or a face they're putting on, so you won't see it. Not realizing they don't understand the whole concept of the situation, what true love is, that a person, when two people really truly love each other, what can really make those relationships not happen.
But no, it's like I said before, too, that it's different. Like, you guys are, seriously, you guys, I don't know what it is, but when you are aware of the true feelings of a woman, especially too soon, now once you guys come to the point that, you join together and you start to share and that's different. But when it's first starting out, we can't let you know how we feel about you because something happens to your head and then you act a fool, and if she's a real woman, you ruin it. Because once you start acting silly, you know, real women, we don't play games. And so we don't do that. So we have to literally keep it under wraps.
Because
when we first start out, you guys really act a fool if you know how we feel. You just do.
I understand that, sweetie, but what I got to do is, I look at situations like this. I take the man and the woman out of the equation, and I look at how two spirits are going to react. I also look at the spiritual maturity about those situations, so you can actually have a woman who acts like a guy. And when I started sitting, so you're sitting there saying, okay, I express my feelings to her, and she says, Unfortunately for you, I don't feel that way. Now, if you listen to the statement she just said, indirectly she's saying, I really care about you too, and you're right, I can't tell you that, because I don't even understand it. Okay, but what he said was, but she still put it in a nice, caring way. Unfortunately for you, I feel for you. So therefore, I'm sorry I don't feel the same. But I was also listening to my intuition that said, she just lied to me in a situation where she wasn't totally honest. So I didn't have to go any further, but I looked at her and I said, this is what's happening. I don't expect you to do anything but be you, because that's what I fell in love with in the first place. Okay, and so therefore, I said, you said that you love it when a person is straightforward and honest with you. I said, there you go. I just felt like if I didn't express it now, it could actually interfere with our friendship, which is the foundation of what we have.
Yes.
And my friend was...
Go ahead.
So I didn't act a fool about the whole thing. I just said to her, there was one day where she came up to me and she said something, and I was just like, I had a freaking tooth that had just broken in half. I wasn't really in a good mood, and I wasn't in really good position about anything.
Yeah, that
hurt. So she comes up and she starts telling me about how great her life is, and she's got this guy out of her life. She's setting boundaries. She's doing the whole thing. And then I got kind of angry with her because we were supposed to go hiking, which she stood me up on. And then down here she is telling me about somebody she's going to go play tennis with. Now, I know I can see it from her point of view. She's not aware. She's just expressing because things are finally going good for her. But I sat there and heard what she said, and I was like, there should be some kind of rescheduling of our trip because of how she came to me when she explained to me when she stood me up. And I could see it in her face. I could feel it with her. There was a lot of hurt, a lot of interference with some things. But I could also hear, I also could feel her sincerity, that she was truly sad and was really looking forward to it, because she had texted me the day before and asked me, are we still going hiking? And I said, yes. Well, this is, and her exact words was, are we going hiking? Yes. And I wrote back, wow, that's kind of anticipation. She's kind of excited about this whole thing, because she's writing me back in that way, which we all know when she writes it that way, she's making sure that we are still going. So that's why I was kind of surprised when she didn't show up. And then the next day when she did show up, I could see that she'd been crying. I'm not sure why, but when she turned around to me and told me, looked at me and said, she really wanted to go hiking. It's just putting things together and having a confidence about it, just taking a deep breath and going, it's just a matter of time, because it's just variables.
Yeah, maybe she just is afraid herself, you know. That sounds like fear.
Oh, yeah.
Because
a lot of craziness coming on.
She didn't reschedule again with you, like, maybe she doesn't even understand the connection that you guys have, you know what I mean? And I'm sure she feels it, but that could also be scaring her, too. So she might be afraid.
That's how it came up, too, because I was sitting here talking to her. I told her how I felt about her. I said, it was kind of amazing that you didn't show up. But in the process of you showing up, I just realized how much I really enjoyed being with her. If she would have showed up, I probably would have had that realization. So it's like looking at somebody going, and she asked me in the process of expressing myself, she goes, are you talking about me? I said, no, I'm talking about the girl behind you. And she goes, what? I said, I'm just kidding. No, I'm talking to you. And I was just, I was going, okay, that's a big clarification for me.
Yeah,
just like,
now it doesn't sound like fear. Because it doesn't seem like, you know, she's just playing games. Like, I don't think it's that. But
no, I don't either. I think it's somebody, it's the ideal stages.
She doesn't sound like that type of person at all. That doesn't fit with what I feel. But just those actions kind of seem like she might be afraid. Like, she's too much. You guys know, you know the connection that you guys have anyway beyond what she does. And so her feeling that and not really being able to place it, you know, that insecurity just might scare her, especially if she's just gone through, you know, something that's not so great with someone else. So it might just be a way for her to kind of halt things because she's not aware of knowing what to do with those feelings. You know, they're scaring her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, too.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. I've had many talks to her too, and we had a conversation where she was like, "She goes, I really don't believe that true love actually does exist." And I looked her right in the face and said, I know true love exists. Trust me on this one.
Yeah.
And then we sit and talk for about an hour or so. And she said, I was like going, okay, well, I've had some conversations. And she looked back at me after getting with that conversation and just said, you know, it's like, this was really good. We should do this more often. And I've learned in situations from where I've been before, where I wasn't so direct. I just looked her right in the face and said, you're right. We really do need to do this more often. When she came to me and said that, me personally, some of my friends I don't like getting advice from because they feel like, you know, a lot of them are young in their 20s and they're going, you know, you should ask her out. And I said, well, actually, we've had situations where we just show up at the same place. Like one day we showed up and I was thinking about asking her out for lunch and then I'm sitting there having lunch. At the same time, I'm contemplating of asking her out for lunch. And then she shows up.
Yeah.
And then we sit down and have lunch anyway.
To me, the thing. You have a telepathic connection. And so that's it, full, you know, blown.
Yeah, we've actually had clients in the shop who would sit there and say, they'd be sitting there doing, well, I'll be doing readings for them. And they'll sit there and go, you know, because in the midst of doing, especially with couples, I do a lot of relationship stuff. And I also use personal experiences of synchronicity and stuff like that. And as we were sitting talking about this girl, she and this guy thought it was kind of weird because she come walking by about 5 minutes later. And he says, she might have, and he says, it's kind of funny that when a person comes walking by and doesn't acknowledge you or doesn't look in your direction, that's a conscious intention. Because he said, realistically, humans don't do that. That when they come walking, especially if they're out on a sidewalk, walking in town and kind of stuff, that basically your attention is everywhere. So the idea of someone making sure that they don't have that distraction, that's a definite intention. I can focus and say, because I can't do this. I got to do this way.
Yeah.
And it was like looking at situations like that. And so most people are questioning it. And some people sort of say, if people don't come to you with those questions, then you'll be out of a job. I said, well, tell you the truth, there's always progression. But the idea of not being in that position anymore because people are listening to themselves, that's a good thing.
Well, that's bad. You know, we are becoming more spiritual, but that's the thing. A lot of us don't, we're just starting out, you know. So we know that we can feel some things that, like you said, when you didn't want to go in the car, remember, because there was an accident today. So you...
Mm-hmm.
Knew, I'm sure when you felt that there was a reason. But for someone like me, that's happened to me also, but I wouldn't even remember it as something that was, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't remember it until the accident happened, and then I would go back and say, oh, okay, that's why I felt like that. You know, but I wouldn't have been knowing that someone was guiding me, like hearing them say, don't do this. I wouldn't have done that because,
that's
just starting out because with intuition, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the realization on that whole situation when I heard about the car accident was a realization about something totally different. Knowing something and then start realizing I'm very well protected, guided, and helped. So therefore, because I was sitting here today going, I would love for this other girl to come just walking by and talk to me. And then I started thinking about it. I've already got a sign. It's between the 26th and the 28th. And the 28th has come up twice already in two private readings I've already done with someone I talked to before. And I was kind of like, I like that. And it's like talking to a guy who was channeling, or I guess he was tapping into her, in her higher self, and the idea of saying, when would you think about having a relationship? When do you want to start this relationship with him? And this one, I already heard the 28th once before about her coming forward. And then this guy just affirmed it when he said he was talking to her higher self. But I plan on starting this relationship with him the 28th. So I was like, okay, we're getting a lot of confirmations, not the ideal of information that I wasn't too sure about. It was already confirmations. The 26th, it was one of those things about we could sit there and say that in some ways when we get insights from people who have a tendency hypothetically, you know, well, maybe the reason you're picking up the 26 is because you're manifesting them yourself. And I know for a fact you can manifest signs if you're really fixated on something too much. But I said, I was sitting there packing this. What I did was I went to Walmart, and I was packing 45-pound plates home where I would sit there. I don't have a car. I usually utilize the bus. Plus, where things are right now, I live a half a block from my shop, and I work at home. So the idea of transportation is not the top of my priority list because I don't need it. And when these situations happen.
We live in Colorado, and so we get to get around, you know. We like to walk. Mm-hmm. We're nature folks, and so walk.
Yes,
like
and when I pack these 45-pound plates, it's almost like a workout in itself. I don't work out on those days because, realistically, I got to go to Walmart. The way the bus is here on this little section here, I usually walk from Walmart back to the bus stop I got off at, which is approximately, I would say, between five or six or seven blocks away from Walmart. Okay?
Yeah.
So that when you're carrying 45 pounds, it starts getting 45, 50, 60. It just keeps getting heavier and heavier.
Heavier.
And then the process also packing groceries and everything. And my friend goes, why do you do that? I said, because I feel like I've accomplished not just getting the lanes home, but that was a heck of a workout. It's a challenge to see, because you know how Colorado is. There's not really anything flat here. Everything's got some kind of gravitation.
That's what I mean. We're hiking, period. Even the neighborhoods, you know what I mean? You can actually go through
neighborhoods. I went through the whole thing.
It's a good workout.
Yeah, I just went down today and bought a Olympic bar. And that was 45 pounds, again, carrying it back to house. I got some groceries, got the whole thing just like I wanted to. Got it back here, got going, and I had to walk and kind of think. Saturday was the worst because Saturday was I had a 45-pound plate, and I forgot because I'd gone down the day before and got the first one. Got to get a second one because you can't really utilize them until you do. And then I got to the freaking thing going, oh, shoot, I forgot. I was actually going to take the bus this time a percentage of the way, but there was still a lot of packing going on. When I realized the bus that I was thinking doesn't run on Saturday, so I actually end up carrying it anyway. So when I did it today, I'm like, okay, I did this once before. Let's do it again because that was really challenging. I felt like I've been, you know, that's almost like a.
It's a good workout. Like, it is.
Yeah, because it works your whole freaking body, and I was sitting there going, this is kind of wild because I feel like I tell people when you still work out your body, it's not the idea of just being healthy. You just feel like you function better.
Yeah.
And it's also been proven that physical activity of some kind. If you only do it 20 minutes a day, actually wards off depression too. Because it's like depression is based on 90% of depression is based on people trying to live up to the expectations of the world instead of actually establishing their own thing going on.
Yeah.
And then when you erase that, there's also this one thing that every time you have an emotion, your body
also
discretes.
Because their body is so full of toxins, everything that most people take in are toxic to them, and so a lot of people don't, you know, take care of themselves the way that they should, and so just that toxicity is enough to cause not just depression, you know, just eating deeper than that. It's a lot of diseases that are caused from that alone. I mean,
it's also been proven your body also discretes chemicals every time you have an emotion. Like when you're happy, your body secretes a chemical that actually makes it's like enabling the whole thing. But it's also for each one emotion, you have this. Like it's like taking addiction.
Because they're called pheromones. And that's what's coming out of you. And even, you know what? Pheromones actually are responsible for, you know, how there's times that you'll meet someone and maybe they seem like, you know, you vibe with them and they're attractive to you, but then once you're around them, there's just something that, there's nothing wrong, but you just know that it can't go any further. And there is a pheromone. They might actually be somewhere in your line that they're related to you way back, or there may be something that you guys are not supposed to, in this lifetime, you know, have any connection like that, and it'll literally be in a pheromone that you can't smell, you don't know consciously, but subconsciously you get that and you know automatically that no matter what you were feeling, it just can't be, you know.
And that's true, too, but we also have to consider the world. The world has a tendency to have things. The world has everything backwards right now. So they feel like sex and the physical attraction is what happens first to determine if if you have a love between two people, not realizing actually the physical act itself is an expression of love.
Right.
For you've already had. So I was sitting there telling my friend, you're sitting there going, do you feel sexually attracted to her? I said, you know something, from what I already know, from what I already feel, that's where it would go. But if you're going to be in a situation where you're constantly in a state where you have to have a physical attraction 24/7, then you're focusing on the wrong thing, and it's probably not going to last very long. It's going to be burning out. That's the burnout part. When you have a spiritual connection with somebody, the fire just keeps getting hotter and hotter. And
yeah,
it's the ideal spirit
and
energy and true love. So therefore, like love at first sight, if you have two people who get that as they meet each other, you can't have that experience of love at first sight. Because what they're seeing, they're not seeing the physical part. They're seeing two spiritual people. They're seeing the true essence of who they are.
That's right.
Not just in themselves, but in each other.
Yeah.
So therefore, it goes continuous. So it's like we all sit here and look at people going, you know something, as these people met, and 2 weeks later they got married. And you're all going to sit there and say, well, that's kind of crazy. In your perception, you're probably right. Well, you never do that. But that doesn't mean how that's
well,
not. Just because your perception
says
that.
Somebody one day, and then they're in the bed with them. And it's like, you don't even know that person besides everything that could happen from doing that. But in reality, if you would have just taken even a month or two to get to know the person, half the time you don't end up in the bed with them because you're able to actually realize that even though you may have a connection, there's not enough compatibility there for you to even have any reason to be laying down with each other. And so that's why there's
mm-hmm.
so many problems, because people are looking just to carnally fulfill what they want to fulfill. But when it comes down to actually having a reason to even have done that, you don't. And that's why you're not supposed to be doing that. And if you just took the time out to actually get to know that person, you would know that being friends is a wonderful thing for you, but there's no reason for you to have gone any further.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, in some rare moments that you have two people who actually recognize each other really quickly.
Yeah.
And those are great. And the situation that we've seen before with love at first sight, people have a tendency to think that if you do have love at first sight, that you're supposed to be physical, because that's what society says. And the idea, if you ever watch the movies, that's the first thing they do. But I saw this movie called Serendipity. If you watch the movie Serendipity, it's a cool movie, because these two people never had sex with each other, but they definitely had a connection, and they kept on winding up in the same place. They didn't catch it at first, and then 10 years later, they meet again.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
And it's one of those situations where you look
it?
At situations of this strong connection they've had, even after 10 years, and she had nothing to do with a physical act.
Who's in Serendipity? Because I don't think I've seen that.
John Cusack and that one British girl. You know, the girl who actually played the part in Underworld, the vampire movie?
Oh, Kate. What's her name?
Winslow or something like that.
Yes. What?
I
know exactly what you're talking about, because I like her too. Wow, I can't believe both of them. I like both of them, and I've never even heard of Serendipity. I'm going to have to.
It's a cool movie, because John Cusack is his funny self. I remember when he was sitting there trying to, they were when they first met, and they were talking and walking around. It's Christmas time, and they do these, there's a couple tests that she does, because she says, okay, I feel the connection. But then as she's, they said, well, this was great. She has a boyfriend. He has a girlfriend. But they had met and tried to buy the same pair of pair of gloves. And in the process of the situation, they end up at this place called Serendipity 3, which is a ice cream place. And they said, hey, this was really nice. I thought I'd buy you this. She bought him some ice cream because he literally had the gloves. And he says, now I have to go out there and find another gift for my girlfriend since you got yours. And she's like, oh, I'm, you know. So he said, thank you for the ice cream and that kind of stuff. But he says, just go out and do something. You know, that's a strong connection. And she's like, well, no, I have to go. And she basically went off and left. But she left the gloves there, and he left his scarf there, and they both come back at the same place 20 minutes later. And then next thing you know, we have this. Yeah, they have this connection.
Synchronicity.
Well, what they do is they look at the situation, the movie. See, they're together now, but they're questioning it. Okay, so she finally gets to a point where she said, "Okay, let's go into this hotel." And he goes, "Oh, what are you gonna do? Get a room?" He's joking around, right? He goes, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
She goes, but what's happening? So she goes, there's like four elevators, and she puts him at one elevator, and she goes in the other one. She goes, okay, if we both push the same number and end up the same floor, then we're supposed to be together now. But if you watch how they do this whole thing, they're still having doubts in it, and the doubts have a tendency to play it out by certain things that are brought into their lives as they're trying to get up to the 23rd floor. Because they both get in the elevator, they both push the same floor. She goes straight up, so she's up there waiting for him, right? He pushes 23, but he has all these chaotic people who keep coming in the elevator. One kid came in the elevator and pushed all the freaking buttons. And then all this stuff's going on, right? So he's got all this chaos because he still has doubt. That's what's going on. He's attracting all these things because he's scared it won't happen. So in the process of feeding to his fear, all these fearful things are happening to him. He gets to the 23rd floor just 2 seconds before she leaves. Well, she leaves. So 2 seconds, she's gone. But you can see in the mask, she gets on one elevator, he gets off the other one. Now, if you look at both of them, they're both doubting it. Because if she would have waited 2 more seconds, it would have connected.
Yeah.
If he would have had more faith in the idea of the elevator right up, they would have both met. But you could see both of them had fear. And then when they meet up again 10 years later, they're getting married. Both of them are getting married.
Oh,
to two different
years
people.
Later.
Yeah. They're getting married to two
okay,
different
so
people,
after
but they're
the
still.
Elevator, then they don't meet until 10 years later on.
Yeah, that's what happened. They get off the elevator. Okay. He comes back down the elevator, and he starts looking for her, and he starts running to all these girls that look like her from the back of the head. Okay? She's gone. She's left. And what started the whole thing about the elevator was she gave him her phone number. And as she's handing him the phone number, a big truck comes by, blows the phone number out of her freaking hand and everywhere, and she's like, that's a sign. And that's when they decide to go to the elevator and do the whole thing, which still didn't work out in their favor. But see, the cool thing about the movie is when they start looking for each other again, they're both going to get married to two different people. And if you sit there and watch them, you can watch how they're compromising to make these relationships work. And they're still being drawn to something real, not what they've created between this other person. That's what it's all about. They basically have created this whole situation. They compromise. They get into a situation, a relationship with people. They feel like this is the next step. They don't want to hurt the other person instead of actually being true to themselves. They keep doing this thing over and again. And as you watch the movie, you can see both of them doing that. You know, the one guy, he acts like he's into, and you know, he uses his intuition. And he does certain things, which is the one she's engaged to. And he does whack out stuff that she does not like. At the same time, she's saying, that's very romantic. And she doesn't really speak the truth. She doesn't tell him how she really feels. She just keeps going to go along with his nuttiness. She's actually dating some guy who's a musician of kind of music she's not even into. And there's just, you can see things that there's no connection. There's realistically no compatibility. And they both have best friends that help them in the process of finding these things out. That throughout the whole movie, they're also saying the same things to their friends, you know, but on different sides of the equation. She lives in L.A., on the outsides of L.A., and he lives in New York, where they met the first time. But when you start listening to all this stuff going on and you watch them, you also see through the movie, as they're looking for each other, they're actually crossing each other's paths. But like one scene where they're getting out of a cab as this other guy and his friend come around the other side and get back in the same cab and drive off. They're almost like, they're so interlocking with each other. You know, they don't see it, but we see it. And it's kind of like you're seeing these things where so life is so important to let go. Because once you let go, the universe will always give you what you want as long as you are true to yourself. So at the end of the movie, they both get signs that they'd put out 10 years ago. 10 years ago, she wrote her number. This John guy, he wrote his number on a $5 bill. And she said, when I get that $5 bill, she goes, when I call you, you'll start believing destiny then. And then he says, well, that's great, but should we send something out there with your number on it too? And she goes, you're right. That's the only fair thing we can do. So she had a book in her bag, and she said, well, I write my number in this book. You also definitely believe in destiny when you find that book and you call me. So at the end of the towards the end of the movie, okay, you start seeing these things, right? And then I think the most emotional part for me was his fiance that he was engaged to at the time, in the process of trying to find this other girl, had given him a groom gift. She gave him that book with the number in it.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, and then she said, finally everybody gives up and starts saying, "Well, maybe this is not supposed to be right." But they finally figured out one thing. Before they actually meet each other again, they figured out one thing.
Wait, but where did his fiance get the book from? How did she get a hold of it?
Well, see, his best friend, you get the information from his friend. His best friend said, you know, you keep looking for that book. You've been looking for that book for years. Like, we went through the whole thing, going to all the bookstores, going everywhere. You never did find this book. So she noticed him always looking for this book, and she just thought he wanted the first edition of this book. Right? So it's kind of a hard situation when a person does love you, but you just don't feel the same way with them. And that's what she was. She really cared about this guy, and she got this book for him and wanted to buy him a groom gift. And he's like, he plays the part, too, like a typical man, too, right? He's sitting there going, he goes, "Hey, you know something? I forgot your gift back at the apartment." And she goes, "Okay, whatever." But she said, I wanted to get you a gift, a groom gift. And as you watch this thing, you start, now they're, you see him crossing paths, and not just touching paths. There was one time where he's a writer for ESPN, does documentaries and stuff, for games and stuff. So they're at this golfing place. And as he's sitting there doing this segment, he takes his gum out of his mouth and puts it on the back of a bench, like most of us do, right?
Yeah.
So she's looking for him. She ends up at that golf place, too, and she actually touched that gum. She's like, "Ooh, I wonder, who in the heck did this?" And you're thinking, "Oh, wow, that's kind of, there's a connection that no one ever would have caught because that's gross." But it's showing two people emotionally, spiritually, physically. The physical part was the yes bit. But it was one of those things that's showing all these things. But he gets the book. He knows where she's at. Okay? He actually flies to L.A. to see her. And when they get there, she had a sister that was actually a house sitting. Well, they never knew that. But his friend sees the girl with her boyfriend, and assumes that he just thought it was the girl he's looking for, basically having sex in the front room. And he tells his friend, he's like, "No, you don't want to go in there. You should call first." "What do I want to call for?" He's like, "Well, you know, she might have a messy house or something." He goes, "I don't care about her house." And he gets up there. He sees her, too. Well, see, he hasn't seen her in 10 years. So he just assumes it, too. So he gives up on the whole thing. They're both laying on the grass behind these bushes so no one will see him. And his friend goes, "Maybe it's not the ideal of where you want to be at. Maybe what the question here is where you don't want to be at. Maybe that's what the whole thing is. It's the ideal of not getting married. And maybe you'll never meet this girl, or maybe it was never meant to happen. But the one thing is, it's a realization that the person you are marrying, you don't want to."
Yeah.
So we have that realization on his side. Well, she's on the other side with her friend, who actually owns a metaphysical store, who's the most non-spiritual person, because she's telling her friend, "Stop doing this freaking, you know, this looking for the signs and this destiny bullshit." And she goes, and her friend was like really whacked out, and she looks at her and says, "For a person that owns a metaphysical shop, you're really kind of weird, because you have all this stuff in your shop selling candles and, you know, attracting your soulmate and stuff." She's just looking at her going, she goes, "You're a big contradiction." But at the end of the movie, even the friends get enlightened, too, to start seeing things in a different way, and they're all positive, and they start living what they've always lived, but now they're embracing it. And then she gets on the plane, and she goes, I'm just going to go home. We're done, the whole thing. And maybe it just wasn't meant to happen. So she's on the plane getting ready to leave, and the stewardess says, basically the plane's on a delay, so we're going to start the movie anyway. So they start selling those headsets. And as they're selling the headsets, her friend had bought a wallet with some kind of Prado on it, the name of the Prado or something like that. Somehow you can see them. They went to Serendipities for her birthday. And you see the $5 bill. When the lady comes and gives him change, you see the $5 bill with a number on it.
That he wrote the number on.
Right. You see that
when
she's at Serendipity. But what you don't see is the switch, because what happened was you're thinking, okay, the friend put it in her wallet. Well, as they get back, they stay in the same room, the hotel. So as she's getting on the plane to leave, she buys them headsets, gives the lady a $5 bill, and as she's sitting there, kind of contemplates, she just happens to look up and she sees the number on the back of the $5 bill. She grabs the $5 bill, gives the lady back her headset, they start freaking out, and she runs out of the freaking thing. So they're both basically calling each other. but they didn't catch it. They're getting addresses and stuff. So she ends up at the wedding. She walks in. It's funny, too, because she walks in, and the lady, and she busts in. And basically what she's going to do is tell, you know, stop the wedding because she wants to talk to him. But when she gets there,
yeah.
he'd already canceled the wedding. He's not going to marry the girl. But she didn't know that, so she goes flying in there, right? Already tears in her eyes because she wasn't sure she was going to make it in time. I mean, and then she goes, looks at the guy who's the maintenance guy. He's putting the chairs away. And he goes, he says, you're too late, you know. And she's like getting ready to walk out. She's crying because she's like, okay, I'm too late. I already got married. And he goes, and the guy goes, don't worry. They'll give you back your present. And she goes, give me back my present. And she goes, yeah, they canceled the wedding. And then she said, she starts crying with tears of joy. He canceled the wedding. And then she goes, that's sad. And she's walking out with a smile on her face because she's saying, I got a chance. Yeah. So they got the whole thing going on, right? And then they never connect yet. So you're kind of getting frustrated now. She called. He called the wedding.
I know. I'm not like they had you all anticipating. But that is so – I'm going to watch this movie. I love John Cusack. Oh, my goodness. And Kate Beckinsale. That's her name, Kate Beckinsale. You know I've loved her since Underground. She came and put it down. So I want to see this movie. This sounds so good. So good.
But see,
and you know
about
what?
The movie.
Tell me if you've ever
seen this movie. You probably never have.
So many people don't know. But this is what the movie that made me fall in love with John Cusack, and it's called Better Off Dead. And it is one of the stupidest movies you will ever watch. It's literally
I already saw it. Funny.
Yes! Oh, my gosh, that is one of my favorite movies. It is so stupid, but it is so funny. Like, literally now, I will still watch that movie and crack up like I did when I was a kid. It is hilarious, and it's so stupid. Like, you can't even think that it could really be funny because it is literally that dumb, but it is so funny to me still to this day. And ever since that movie, I have loved him. And I'm so surprised I never ever heard of this movie because I like Kate Beckinsale too, but I've never heard of Serendipity. And this is something I would definitely dig. I'm going to watch this movie.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Well, so cool about the movie is 10 years ago, they met each other. They actually was at a skating rink, one of those outside New York skating rinks and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting watching this thing, and they were looking up the stars. And then she was looking at the star cluster, and he says, oh, that's a certain star cluster. And he kind of actually drew it on her arm, the formation, about this lady who basically didn't heed the word of the signs and stuff and end up in the freaking heavens upside down. And they were talking about this whole thing, right? At the end of the movie, she's sitting there talking to the guy that she just broke up with, that she's going to break up with. She's already at the skating rink. She leaves her jacket there. But she was sitting there talking, and he looks up in the stars. And he goes, I know what these star clusters are called, but I can't remember what they are. And she started thinking. She goes, oh, I know what this one is, because she had done the same thing with John Cusack 10 years ago. And she's looking up the whole thing. But when you sit there and watch the movie, you start realizing this is one of those signs where they say everything starts lining up again, where you should start seeing things what they are, where it means it shows a reconnection with these two, right? And I never caught that until like the fifth time I watched it, going, the stars, the connection, being back at the same place, leaving certain things certain places.
Right.
So they both pick the things up, because at the end of the movie,
they're referencing their natal chart. Like, they're referencing the fact that if they follow you're in your natal chart, because that's where you will find them. If they would have done that, you know, it's written in the stars, literally, as above, so below. You know, it's written in the stars.
Yeah, being a person that I am, and synchronicity and serendipity, and serendipity means an intentional accident, which means there are no accidents. Everything happens for a reason.
That's right.
And when I was watching this thing, all this stuff came to the light and say, okay, watch this. And then it was kind of funny. She got the $5 bill. She goes looking for him, and the wedding's canceled and stuff. She can't go any further from there, but she still has hope. And then it's just how things fall into place, where she just kind of goes and revisits a lot of things, and she ends up at that skating rink. But it was kind of funny. But she left. She's basically saying she's just going to hang around New York and try to, you know, hope for the best. And she goes, I feel like he's there, and I feel like something's going to happen, so I just got to let go of it. That was the key right there.
Yeah.
I have to let go of it, allow it to happen. So she just kind of winches off, and she realizes she forgot her jacket, and she knows where she forgot her jacket. So she heads down that way. And then we cut up to John Cusack, who's basically said the same thing. He felt like he'd done a good thing. He had to stop his wedding because it wasn't really good for either one of them. So he goes back down to the skating rink, too. He's sitting in the middle of the rink. And he had found her jacket. He didn't know whose jacket it was. He just found the jacket because he was sitting on the bench for a second. He decided to go sit in the middle because it started snowing. So he takes the jacket he just found, takes it with him, and lies down, uses the jacket for the back of his head. Now, in the situation, what had happened was when they got on the elevator years ago, the lady, what's her name? She just really had a strong feeling they were going to meet at the same. Yeah, she felt like they were going to meet when they pushed those buttons on the elevator. She felt for sure they were going to meet each other. So she has one glove, and he has the other. So at the end of the movie, he's sitting there with his glove, you know, daydreaming about the idea. What would it have been like if it would have happened? All of a sudden, here comes this black glove flying in the freaking wind and lands on his chest. He turns around. She's standing there looking at him. About that time, we're all in tears going, because, you know, it's a great thing when people see this kind of stuff going on. And it freaks out because it's the idea. The end of the movie is basically just saying one thing. When you go and let go and allow things to happen, what will happen? Probably whatever you expected to happen. It was that last component of letting it go. Isn't that great? So we look at the situation of how these all things fall into place. But when you trace it back to the key, what is the key? What's the component? It's a part like we did with the law of attraction. You ask for what you want. You let go of it. Give it to the universe. And then you have this expectations of the outcome. You don't have to dwell on the outcome. You don't have to set a goal. But if, you know, once you let go, start living your life, just let go. It's like if you want someone to share your life, then you have to be living your life in order for this person to become a part of it. That's how it happens. So I hate to say this, but dating services are bogus because this is pursuing. And we always think we got to go chasing after everything. It's a human concept that humans have developed in the idea of being insecure about themselves. Really, it's almost like saying, I don't have a confidence or the faith in myself that I can actually attract a person I want to be with or attract anything. So therefore, we have a tendency to pursue everything. This is where stress and exhaustion comes in. If we would just allow things to happen just where they're supposed to happen, we'd always still be at the same point, but less exhausted, less emotional, less stressed out. So therefore, we know for a fact that stress has a tendency to do one thing. It makes you doubt yourself. So when you do get say that incident, that situation still happens, when it happens, you're nervous and you fumble through the whole thing. If you just sit there and go, synchronicity is always working in the situation of things that are supposed to be and things that we allow. They will happen, but they're supposed to be, and they always will be. It's the idea of our own doubt, our own lack of faith in ourselves that can actually work against those situations. So it's kind of a crazy thing. All right, so we have another caller in the queue. Let's go to them, see what's up. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. I guess you're like a private number, but it comes up all ones.
Oh,
what is your name? Where are you from?
Tennessee.
And what's your name?
Long. Hello. I've called you before. I recognize that voice.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I think when I called you before, it was almost like you were going off, and I don't know if we completed the reading or what. I can't even remember. Sometimes I'm frustrated and upset about some things, and I don't know. But can you give me a reading, or do I need to ask a specific question?
Well, for the format of the show, it's best to ask the question. And I will tell you this, you got 14 mm-hmm. minutes. Not to put any pressure on you or nothing, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened last time. I have a problem with work. Right now I'm out of work, and I just feel like I was done an injustice. And
mm-hmm.
So that's about it. And you can tell me something about it, or do I need to add more to it?
Well, you're talking about a situation at work, and you feel like you were let go.
Yeah, I was let go. Actually, they didn't even investigate the situation. And, you know, it's devastating because I had no money. Mm-hmm. I had no money for 6 months, 7 months, you know.
Right.
Because of the falsehood that they were telling. Now they were continue with the state as their claim.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically they didn't want to see the other side of the situation. They just want to focus on their own perceptions and forget everybody else, basically. One-sided.
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's one-sided. I just think that they know the truth, but, of course, they have to hide it. You know, but it has affected my, this whole thing has actually affected my speech. I know I'm able to talk to you now, but if I talk about it, it will come out. And so I'm not going to embarrass myself by talking about it. I just want to know, I really would like to know if I would be paid for, what they owe me.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So get yes, they will. But you can also see there's like three people. You see two people dragging one, and it's almost like the idea. I get a yes, and I see that picture, which gives me an impression of they're going to drag their feet.
You said three people dragging. I'm sorry if I ask you to repeat the question. But I'm not quite understanding what you just said.
No, what it was, like, yes, you will get what you deserve. But the picture I saw was representing that they're going to drag their feet. And there's three people involved in this dragging the feet. So you got two people dragging one, which means three people are basically are the catalyst for why things are so slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing I would like to ask, but I don't really want to ask this on the air, I should ask that question, but okay. Well, what about a job in the future, then?
I get the impression with the situation I get that you'll have a job before Christmas. It actually, it keeps saying before the holidays.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes with the perception of that whole thing is, you know, what do you consider the holidays? Some people think that before the holidays means as we go in the holiday season, which starts with Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But mm-hmm. some people have a tendency to focus on Halloween, too, as the beginning, too. I get more of November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get more of a November kind of thing.
You do? Okay.
Because I feel like it's right on the cuff of the whole freaking thing all coming out and playing itself out. So
yeah.
It's one of those situations. So.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, the one thing I want to tell people flat out, right? I want to sit there and tell people flat out like this. I want everybody to realize one thing. In the process of perception, okay, there has to be a realization that everything happens in your life, you create them. So if there's blockages and those kind of things, it drives you freaking nuts because everybody goes, okay, don't wait around to see if I'm right. It's one of those things of saying, this is my perception. What do I see? And then the idea of taking that information, readings are for information to actually see good things and manifest them into reality.
Okay, I understand that.
So focus on not just the idea of a job, but also get detailed. You want to be detailed about what you really want too, as well. If you got your mind focused on something, there has to be something focused in there too. Because I keep getting the impression there is. It's just a clarification of that whole thing that makes it happen quicker. And I think lots of changes in your mind already.
Yes, it definitely is. How did you say that you learned how to read?
I got healed a big prick. No, I'm just kidding. the only thing I tell people a lot of times, it took me like probably no time to read cards because I was actually taking one step out and, how would you put it? I've had out-of-body experiences before.
Okay.
And certain things that have happened, I was in a drowning accident, things like that. And I think once we connect with spirit in that kind of way, it actually opens our abilities even more. They were always there. And then the ideal situations, like that. When I learned how to read palms, that took about 2 hours.
So did you read cards? Is that what you're reading when you're talking to me now?
No. Actually, those answers came to me very quickly. And the ideal of a situation saying, hello, this is the answer. And if I could, cards are good.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good, let's go with it. And I'm centering that so many things in the process of doing it professionally. I've actually learned of other gifts, too, that came to the forefront. So, I'm trying to figure out. Got a little light head on that one. Try to figure out how to focus, make sure if there's anything else coming through.
You're doing the cards,
No, it's funny, the idea.
It's what now?
It's like the idea of focusing, see what you hear. It's all about hearing. Cards are like tools. You know, when you build a house, it's great to have a hammer because then you can take your dream or your dream, what do you call that? What's the other one? Your desire, and you can actually, it's easier to bring that into physical form when you have the right tools to do so. It's the same thing with guidance. Sometimes when I'll pull the cards out if things don't make sense to me, to clarify. I'll ask angels, clarify. They can do that too.
Wow.
Sometimes it's one of those things that all I can sit here and say is everything I do is basically on intuition.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so when I sit
there, I have a high intuition as well. I think so.
Like people, because the first part of the show we were talking about archangels, and people want to know about the archangels because a lot of people have a lot more archangels working with them. Besides their guides and stuff like that. When I sit here and look at the situation, you know, when you sit here and see those things, I've actually answered questions for people. It's just the ideal. I trust the guidance that is around me. I don't have to know.
Okay. Well, confidence. I'll be quiet. Maybe you're listening.
The one I get with you is Archangel Raphael. Raphael is not just the ideal of the angel of healing. It's also the angel of relationships, too, as well. Also the attraction and the guidance on how to also attract more money into your life, more prosperity. So the green energy has a lot more definitions than most. Some people look at the situation and go, you know something? I'm not sure about this. I said, well, you should. So I get that one. Let me see here. Actually, I'm looking for the book. I've tried to. I had some people on this other side I worked for where I wanted to bring more into it.
Mm.
So I started looking up the archangels, and I have a book on archangels. So.
Oh, okay.
I just got a brand new deck of cards, which is at my shop. I'm still working with it.
Mm.
But it's called the Power Archangel Power Deck. It's a new one. It just came out with Doring Virtue, and it has a lot. The higher canon, that one is all the cards are based on archangels, and then we have the minors are based on four archangels: Archangel Gabriel, Archangel. Oh, how we put this? We got Archangel Raphael, Gabriel, Michael, and Ariel. So you have the four suits, which is water, air, fire, and earth. Well, they're all backed by. So I think Raphael is the angel for relationships, which is actually the Archangel Raphael is also on the Lover's card. But it's also associated with desire.
Okay.
So the lover's card doesn't always just mean that it's about a romantic relationship. It can also mean partnership, kind of partnership you want to have in a business, or just the idea of the kind of connection you want to have to a business, which means you want to do something on your own.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
And the Archangel Raphael, I'll try to find that. It's just the ideal of finding all the archangels. Here it is. Archangel Raphael can help you with addictions and cravings, eliminating and reducing them. Also,
what did you just say? Oh, my God.
Huh?
You just said something. What did you just read?
I said it. Oh, with addictions and cravings and how to eliminate and reduce them.
Who is that?
What did you think I said?
That's one of my biggest problems I'm having since I've been up under the stress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was just talking about that. I said it's causing me to just kind of eat, and that's something I don't normally do, but since I've been going through this, especially over the last 3 months.
It's for spiritual releasement. Also the traveler. Which is the idea relating to protecting order line and harmony as you travel. A lot of people have trouble with traveling and stuff. Clairvoyancy, your eyesight, just not just your physical, but also your spiritual. So it's the idea of seeing things for what they are. When you start seeing things for what they are, a lot of times people eat a lot because they're stressed and nervous and worried. When they start seeing things for what they are and realizing this is just the way it is, that craving goes away because it's basically something within yourself that you're trying to fulfill. If I can suppress those feelings, people have different ways of suppressing the feeling. I've also seen girls who have a tendency to eat, too, in the process of not wanting to express their feelings.
Yes.
That's an addiction itself of a person hanging onto a bad habit that they know doesn't work for them.
Right.
It's also space clearing, healing for humans and animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's also for healers, guidance and support to follow that kind of work, too, as well. Archangel Raphael is basically, Raphael's name means God heals or God has healed, based upon the Hebrew, basically a word I can't pronounce. It's like Raphael, which is R-A-P-H-A, which means doctor or healer. Raphael can be invoked on behalf of someone else, where you can actually ask Archangel Raphael to go to a friend or someone that you know that's in need of some kind of healing. It doesn't matter if it's physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, or a person you know needs to release something so they can actually, like say you have a boyfriend, you know there's a blockage there somewhere, which is probably traced back to a past relationship. You can actually send Archangel Raphael for that person to be healed. Whether it be more open, doesn't always get rid of that feeling or that connection right off the bat, but it does open up communication. So that's a definite perception. You change your perception. That's also a healing emotionally. So it means they're on their way, which if they come to your house going, I want to talk about this, you're going, okay, let's use Archangel Raphael again. Because that was quick results. But that's your main one right there. And I do have another person in the queue that I would like to go to before we actually run out of time. I'm just saying, if you work with Archangel Raphael, try to get this book or some kind of information about the whole building, the internet or something. Because it's about money. It's about relationships, healing. Because usually when you have a tough time attracting money, you're also hanging on to something that you need to heal within yourself. Maybe you don't think you deserve it because you've been through a lot of stuff. Try that one, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. Look forward to hearing
you
again.
Good night. Okay, I will.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Mm-hmm.
Good night. See you. All right, area code 973. You're on the show. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
How are you? Good night.
And where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey. My name is Jackie.
Jackie.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You can get a lot of names where people say, this is my name. I'm going, okay, I'll take your word for it, but I can't pronounce it.
Yeah,
Jackie. I can pronounce
it. And some people call me Annie. My family call me Annie. And I was listening to the previous caller when you was talking about healing and holding on to things. And I just really want to hear what Spirit has to say about my personal healing.
Seems like it's one of those things, emotional.
Yes, a lot of it is emotional.
What's that? So, see how I would put this. It's like the idea of looking at things and realizing that, which is kind of hard for some people to conceive, is the idea that any kind of infraction, healing, hurt, are based to thoughts to the past.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing the past is something that doesn't exist anymore. It only exists in your mind. And it's not the idea of saying you're crazy. It's to help you understand the core. That people always say, I can't let go of this, or I can't let go of somebody. I know I should let go of them, I should move on, but I just can't do it. I said it's because that's a conscious choice that you feel like if you let go of it, for some reason you're a bad person. We're supposed to sit there and do that. I think, for example, I had somebody who gave me opened a psychic shop, which I actually became a part of it and actually became a partner. But she was always going back to, I gave you a chance. And I said, okay, that's great. And I do my job. And I go far exceeding the whole thing. So when am I not obligated to you anymore?
Sounds like my family.
I thought you were doing this to help somebody else. But realistically, all you were doing for is to get something back in return. Obviously, you want that attention. I said, it's not my job to do that. The attention you're looking for is the attention you need to give for yourself. To realize you don't need anything on the outside. It's something that you should be wanting and desiring as to be a part of your life, not the idea of something fulfilling. I want my goals fulfilled. I want my intentions and the ideal of certain desires and that kind of stuff to be fulfilled. But in the process of that fulfillment, it should just be a realization within myself that I already had those qualities or I couldn't have attracted the opportunities I did. So it's just a realization. And
I've always been a dreamer, and I've always had visions that were beyond my everyday circumstances ever since I was a child, almost to the point that when I even, like, looked at different personality or disorders, because of the nature of my job, I just happened to look into these things, and I said I would somehow appear narcissistic to others. Okay? Because my dreams are bigger than my circumstances. However, I always have also felt like either I was surrounded by the wrong people, and it's not necessarily mean that they were horrible, but they weren't supportive.
They weren't on the same page as you are.
And I find that so often that at some point I began to even question myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does that make any sense? You know,
everybody that's all my family and everything else has done one thing for me is propelled me to where I'm at now. Because what they told me I couldn't do.
Okay.
Because right now I was basically in a situation where my mom was always telling me, you got to get a job, you got to do this, that. And I started noticing certain things about what they were saying never panned out. And one day I decided to listen to myself and guidance and angels going, do this. And then the first time I listened and something great happened, I was
mm-hmm.
like, you know something? Just forget the expectations or my environment. It's the idea of focusing on what I want to live, how I want my environment to be. Where do
mm-hmm.
I want to be at? Where do I want to go? And that's why the first time I just took off and left Ohio and
mm-hmm.
was bouncing, I think because of not being very clear about what I really wanted, just certain intentions I was setting out of not being there, that I bounced around for like a couple years. And then
mm-hmm.
I got a chance to come to Colorado, and that
mm-hmm.
was, I stayed in one place for 3 years. And then I left here in 2006 and came back in 2012. And it was kind of funny, too, because it was just the idea of sitting down and go, okay, you know something? I went to Colorado the first time, and it didn't cost me nothing, and I deserve it again. In less than a week, I was back here.
Okay.
And a lot of ideals came to me and said, you know, you work on the Internet. You do a lot of things on the Internet. You do your radio show. You actually work for a company on the Internet. That's where you make most of your money. So, therefore, you can go back to Colorado. Maybe you don't have enough money for an apartment, but you do have enough money to be in a hotel for a month, which should get you on your own feet. Plus, you got constantly money coming in because you're working on the Internet, and what? And guess what? Wi-Fi
mm-hmm.
is free at hotels. Most hotels. Well, all hotels I know of, anyway. So I was like,
mm-hmm.
ooh, I'm not going to be paying for Internet, and I can still make money. So I'm looking at situations where I wasn't putting out any money, but at the same time saving for it. But it was like, also, when I came back here, the energy seemed whole different. That's almost like everything I put my attentions on, everything
mm-hmm.
I declared, everything I started focusing on, I started noticing it started happening. In Ohio,
okay.
I would do that, and it was always slow, or almost like non-existent. And plus, I was always dealing with people around me who were, when it was slow, like you said before, it wasn't being supported. They were sitting there feeding more into fear. Well, maybe you should get a job. That's not the solution. The solution, realistically, in those situations is there's something with me about my thinking, which is not right, or my focus. Am I focusing on my heart enough? Are these really my heart's desire, or am I thinking about it too much? So we changed that perception, and so I started realizing that everything I changed in my perception and how I perceive things, when I changed that perception, my
mm-hmm.
outer world started changing accordingly. And now I have this apartment. It's not one of the biggest apartments in the world, but it was
mm-hmm.
one of those things of looking for a solution, saying, you know something, I was staying in this, I did have an apartment at this other place where I was paying $525 for one bedroom. I was
mm-hmm.
paying for cable, which was like $114. I was, you know, paying for electric, which was getting up there, but went from $40 to $100 and some. So I started
mm-hmm.
realizing I'm paying almost $600 or $700. So this one thing came up. I got a new shop. I got a shop, to put that way. And I said, I want to live closer to my shop, so I'll take the bus. I can just walk to the shop. Plus, it gives me a little more freedom. And if I want to leave 5 minutes before I'm supposed to be there, it only takes me 5 minutes to get there.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, an opportunity came to me to live in this apartment. And my friend goes, but you have a lease. I said, one thing you have to learn is the world will do one thing, is setting you up where you're always obligated to them. Okay, so what if I have a lease? I've talked to my landlord. I have people upstairs are bouncing around, making all kinds of chaotic noise at 2 o'clock in the morning. At that
okay.
time, I solely worked at home, and it was starting to interfere with my work. So I wrote him a letter. And said, please get, I said, my exact words was, please get these people the hell out of here. If I can't be more straightforward to you, I told him exactly what was going on. Well, he didn't follow through. They let him stay there for another month. And then I found out later on they hadn't paid any kind of rent for 4 months.
Wow.
And he was always on my case. If I was late, he was constantly doing his little thing. When are you going to pay the rent? And then those people hadn't paid the rent realistically in 4 months. So I said, okay, this opportunity had come up. So I said, if this is supposed to happen, then it should be a smooth
right.
transition, right? So
mm-hmm.
I came up here. My friend says, when you get your new apartment in this place over here, I'll be glad to help you out with some things that are going on. And I said, I was almost sitting there and saying, what do you mean, when? Should I have to fill out the application? Now, before I even went there, I said, we speak things out of our mouths. It actually creates our reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't allow myself to say anything negative. I just looked at her and said, okay, you're right. When? And from that point, I walked right down to the freaking office of this building and filled an application out. And I was actually approved in 3 days.
Okay.
I moved in before the end of the week. Okay. See, we have a tendency, like I always call people, it's a false sense of responsibility. You have a lease with those people. So what you're saying is, since I have a lease with these people, since it doesn't matter what they're doing, right or wrong, you're saying I should stay here. I said, for some reason, I don't feel the same, because I feel like I have to come up with a solution that works for my life. They're responsible for their life. They're responsible for all the things they've created, and so am I. I'm not responsible for them. So the situation is like this. He didn't follow through. I always tell people that, too. A lease is not just for your landlord. It's to cover both of you. So look at your lease and see how many times he's violated that lease. That will give you leeway and also loopholes in the situation to take yourself into a better environment. It's like when I was back at the house. I was in Ohio, and I was like, I would love to go back to Colorado. So I started getting very, really descriptive. And I said, I want to go back. I knew exactly where I wanted to live at. I knew exactly where I wanted to go. I wanted to go back and get this shop back. And I started getting more detail about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother had a house he was renting out. Well, there's people trashed the place, and it took us about 5 months to get the basement cleaned out, get this place where you can actually rent it out again, painted the walls, did the roof. I mean, just yard work, all kinds of stuff on this whole thing. Well, my brother came down a couple of times because he actually lives in Virginia. He didn't live in Ohio. And he came back down to help me put the pipes back in because someone had stolen all the copper pipes out of it down to the freaking main. I told my brother, I said, I have to have some kind of semantics to know how to put these pipes back in because I don't remember how they were done.
We're going through that right now with a property.
Yeah.
That's part of an estate.
Yeah.
A thief always knowing this problem.
Yeah. So I said, and told him, I said, this time, do not replace these with copper again. Replace it with PCP. You know, he's like, okay. Well, he came down, he saw me doing all this work and stuff and everything else. As we're getting done with this whole thing, my mom comes to me and says, your brother's really impressed with what you did. He wants to compensate you for it. He just wants to know what you want. Ooh, someone's asking me what I want. And it's almost like my guys are saying,
not what you're going to give him, right?
Right. So he sits there and says, what do you want? And I said, I told my mom, I was like, it just came to me like my guides are talking to me and saying, you want $500 and you want a bus ticket back to Colorado. And I said, and that's what I told her. And I said, here it is. This is what it is. And she goes, well, I'll talk to your brother about it. I'm not sure what he's going to do about this. I said, well, that's what you're asking me. That's what I want. That's what I want. I said, I can justify it for you, too. I said, to clean that basement out the way it was with all the toxic waste and the mold and everything else, I would have cost you $2,500 to get it cleaned. I said, I painted the whole house, not just a couple rooms. I've done the painting thing, so that would probably cost you another $2,500.
You did the work of a professional contractor, basically, with your hands.
Yeah. So I said, we're totaling up $5,000, and all I'm asking for is $500 and a bus ticket back to Colorado. I'm not even asking you guys for a plane ticket. I'm just saying, give me a bus ticket and the whole thing. So she said she'll go talk to him about it. Well, on Wednesday, that's when I said it. I said, you know something? I went to Colorado the first time. It didn't cost anything, and I deserve it again. My mom comes back to me before the end of the week and said, we agree with everything you said. I was like, I wonder if it was me just sitting here saying, this is what I want, not just to them, but also to the universe. I've decided I want to go back because I feel like that's where I can be the most successful. And now I have a successful business, a shop. I have a successful business at home. I have an apartment. Now I could sit there and complain and say, okay,
so do you believe, in addition to your gift, that this has all occurred only because you say it can happen or that's what you want? Do you believe because you spoke that out in the universe?
It's saying it, believing it, and basically feeling it, just allowing it to happen.
Well, I feel it. I say it. I say there's certain things that I feel and I say, and I know it's within inside of me. But then again, there's always still something that may come and try to derail it. And I'm not trying to look at the negative. You know, like I said, I could be more optimistic than most people usually, especially if I'm alone. I'm good. You know, when I'm surrounded by
others.
That's
one thing I will sit here and say too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I notice my environment of everybody trying to be, as they call it, logical, realistic, and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe that we create our own realities.
Right.
So everybody can be right about what they're creating because their life reflects it. So I was sitting there going, okay, that's the one thing my intentions was, not just the idea of the $500 of the bus ticket, but I knew for a fact it would take me to a better environment.
Mm.
And if I had to be by myself for a while, that's what I felt too. I do the most work, I do all my good work when I'm actually by myself in
right.
my world. And I also when I focus and I'm using these meditations and I'm saying these affirmations,
okay.
I also try to let it resonate. I try to, as I'm saying it, as I pronounce each word, I also...
So was your show tonight... Was your show tonight on the aspirations? Because I missed the earlier part. I actually just logged on. And, you know, I was doing some work, and I was just listening, and I said, let me call. I called in right before you got off the line, so I missed the essence of the show. But I was just hearing what you were saying to the previous caller, because, again, you know, I let me tell you where I'm at, and then maybe you could fill in the gap for me. I work with a lot of people who have problems, young people, and I go out for them. I go out for my job. My job is my passion. Whether I achieve the results that I set out, I still do as much as I possibly can for this particular job because I'm a teacher. And, it's so many things that I want to give to the universe, especially to the young people, because I have things that I wish someone would have told me or given me when I was young. And I'm just getting to a point where I realize that my giving is really based on this is what I wish someone would have given me when I was that child.
Uh-huh.
Now, and don't get me wrong. I grew up with my parents. My parents were hardworking immigrants, and they tried to instill in me a sense of pride, determination, all of those good things that I took for granted at some point in time. And once I realized who I was, or at least once I think I knew who I was and, you know, started to raise my family, I tried to do the exact same thing my parents taught me. But later on in life, I began to see the ones who didn't even try, they was getting everything easy. And here it is, I'm working extremely hard, and it's very difficult. So am I doing the wrong thing? You know what I'm saying? Am I doing the wrong thing because I'm trying to do the right thing? Is that the opposition, or am I not doing the right thing? You know?
It's like living in a situation of a person who's doing the right thing. It's just the ideal. When you focus on the situation, are you really where you're supposed to be at? A lot of us have a tendency to have a perception, because I've done this before with readings where I told somebody that they were almost like in some ways destined to be a teacher. And the first thing they thought of was they didn't want to teach the kids. They felt like that was the wrong kind of format. And I said, well, this is the way it works. And it's the idea of taking it to heart to realize that teaching is what I just did. And it's the idea of you have the format, you have the foundation, but you also get the impression it's time to move on to a higher degree of teaching, which means it's a worldly thing.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching people, like you see, it's already based on the idea of helping young children, thinking if we help the young children, then it can always affect the world in a more positive way because you never got that kind of teaching. And the idea of what I do is I just focus on my world, my wants, my needs, my desires. I have actually written a list of what my wants, needs, and desires are. There's a book out there called Super Beings, The Super Beings by John Randolph Price.
Okay.
And in that book, it actually has a lot of things into it, personal experiences, but it actually has a detailed, you know, step-by-step on how to do that. There's actually a section in the book, I think it's chapter 4, where it's called The List. And they actually have a phrase in there that I have the power within myself to change physically, mentally, spiritually. The love that I have, I can change all these things. All I have to do is have faith in myself. And then
what
you write
name
at
is
the
author?
Top. John Randolph Price.
Randolph Price. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can tell you a lot of things in the book, but what it does, it basically brings you back to the ideal desire and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start doing these techniques, you'll start realizing that maybe the big thing that's working against you, in some sense of the word, is a deep thing within yourself that you don't feel like you deserve it. I had to deal with that too.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
Because, all right, one of the reasons why I called, even though I had called late, I would like a reading, okay? I do believe everything that I want at this point, I deserve. I do believe that. But I know probably deep on the inside, you know, deep in my subconscious, I probably, over the years, because of rejection and everything, you know, it's something completely different. Because I'm trying to tap into that. I'm truly trying to tap into that. Because, again, you know, I already know in more ways than one that, I mean, I don't walk alone. I know that I have gifts that I can't even discuss with certain people, because if I do, they'll look at me and say, "Oh, you crazy." But I know I have these things. I don't know how to exactly use them or understand everything about them, but I know I have them. You understand?
Yes, that's one thing. Yeah,
so
I understand completely. There are people like that.
I'm just beginning to really want to recognize that part of myself, so that I could experience healing and everything. You know, I want to get to know my spiritual guides, my angels. I want to get to know my ancestral spirits that guide me and have been guiding me from as long as I can remember, but didn't know what it was. And it really took me to the point of being completely crushed to get here.
And
I noticed that the more that I'm trying to really get there, the more opposition that, or the more inner turmoil that I experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because as you start changing your perception, there's still things within yourself that are laying dormant. So as you start changing your mind to be more positive, what's happening is these are suppressed feelings and suppressed things that you have are actually manifesting as these obstacles and stuff. So you're going to go through a lot of that, going through obstacles and releasing that stuff. Then you're going to sit there and see yourself get to a point where you feel very confident because of things that you have accomplished, to realize that all those things, no matter what they were, bad or good, you created them. So then you start focusing on more, well, since I created all those, which ones do I like better? I like the positive ones. So you start focusing on more solutions. You'll even catch yourself, when you say something negative, you'll even catch yourself and say no,
and say it in a more positive way. Right. Because everything you can speak it into reality by what you say.
I've had actually friends that do that too. I like some of my friends I have, because they'll sit and go, I said, I'm sure on the rent, and they go, "You're never behind on nothing." I said, "You know something? You're right. I'll take that thought. It changes my perception where it goes right back where I was creating those things and say, you're right. I am never behind on nothing, and I'm not going to be not behind on anything, and today I'm going to pay the rent. I'm going to have that rent before the end of this day." And there's been so many times where it's just, it always happens that way. And I told my friend, are you behind on anything? No, I'm not. And that was the thing I was talking about before. I went through the desire thing, where I didn't feel like I deserved things. But I actually have an affirmation I use, where it's called, "Everything I desire, I deserve."
Was there anybody else in your family who had the same gift that you had, that you're aware of?
Well, my grandma was a devout Christian, but it was kind of funny how she would just say things. And most people would look at her and say she lived in poverty. And she, you know, lacked limitations. But if you really watched her, she always had everything she needed.
Okay.
So it was one of those things, too. I think she was one of those people we call, you know, where she's looking at it different. Because I think it's kind of funny if you read the Bible. The Bible has a lot of things that we would consider metaphysic. Like, you have not because you ask not. So therefore, if you ask, you shall receive in what you believe. And it's in the Bible. And then there was another one, evil, good and evil is in the power of the tongue, which means basically...
Right.
What you speak, you create.
Right.
Good or bad, you created it with your mouth. Also,
what's
if you look at the Bible in Genesis,
in heaven.
Well, look at Genesis.
Right.
Genesis, if you look at the example, you see God just speaking everything into existence. He also instilled, it says you're made in his image. And people go, well, he's a God. Yeah, and you're a nut. You're not looking at the situation of being made in the image of, which means you have the power. All he's saying is don't put yourself before him and realize you are him. You are of, you are connected, you are one and the same. It's like I told someone, I said, look at the example. God is the sun. and every ray that comes off the sun is us. So if you look at the situation, we're bright. And as long as we acknowledge the source, we're also one and the same. We're just extensions of God, but we are definitely from the source, which takes us back to why we use the word source. It's the idea where everything comes from, creation. What is humble? To be humble doesn't mean you can't be a billionaire. Humble means you appreciate where it comes from. That's probably why you have so much, because you have a strong appreciation. It's not the idea of giving. There has to be a balance between giving and receiving. So when you give, a lot of people say, well, I don't have anything. Yeah, but all you keep doing is focusing on giving because you think that's what you need to do all the time. You don't realize you have to be open to also receiving, because that's a sense of selfishness, because what you're doing right there is, I need to give, not realizing you're not giving anybody else a chance to give either, which is, as you put out, it will come back to you. Like the symbol of infinity. When you send out love like that, it connects you to the world as an infinity symbol, continuous love. As long as you focus on love itself, it will attract every good thing you desire to you. So therefore, relationships, money, whatever it is. But you have to have that strong belief in yourself. And the quickest way to get that strong belief in yourself is the idea of believe and actually being humble and acknowledging and grateful, being grateful and gratitude to the source. And then what you're doing is you're keeping the flow going. So you will never be any kind of lack of limitation. Lack of limitation has probably been something that's been created because of what your perception. For example, when you were younger, you were potty trained. You don't remember that, but you act accordingly.
Okay.
You go to the bathroom. You do certain things. You're like, okay, I do it this way. Okay. And even in that situation, there are certain things that you're not happy with. So you change accordingly. But the source of where those things that didn't resonate with you came from the source of your parents and your environment. It's also the same thing, the core of why you don't feel like you deserve, because you've probably been told, my parents were like, you know, the situation of limitation, lack of limitation. So people always say that too. I've heard this before. Somebody goes, you got to know your limitations. And I said, yes, you do, so you can actually surpass them. See, that's the source. The idea of what will propel you to go forward is to realize what are your limitations. And to realize limitations are illusions that were created by someone else's perception that works for them because that's what they perceive it, so they create that. So they're actually that limitation, but they probably far exceed that whole thing. Because I've seen this too many times, that people say you got to work a job, you got to work 40 hours a week, and that's how you actually get ahead. I guarantee if you work in a real job, as they call it, you will never realistically get ahead. You will be constantly in a cycle, because I know for a fact, being self-employed, my manifestation skills actually work better because I'm in control of the whole thing.
Right.
You know, when you work for somebody else, you have to sit there. You can manifest exactly the kind of job and the kind of pay you want, but you still have to go through a lot of people to do it. And that's
right.
if you do some self-employment, I always tell people, if you're going to do a job, have a business, self-employment, whatever it is, make sure it's what you love. Because if you love what you do, you'll also be in a situation of attracting everything you need to do that. And also, if Spark sees that, to realize what you've created will also attract the other things that you want, need, desire, too. But it's all love. If you hate what you do, that's why you see people out there struggling from week to week, because they hate what they do. They do it because they feel like they have to do it. See, it's like me. I walked away from all that crazy stuff.
I like doing what I do. I don't like doing where I'm at.
You go home.
Does that make
home.
Sense?
I'm saying if you're already home, what you need to do is get a pad and pencil, sit down, and look at the ideal. Say, I love being a teacher. Write down the description of what your perception, what do you feel a teacher is. And then I had a lady do this once before. She said she likes being a manager, but she didn't like the company she worked for. So what she did, she went home, wrote down, this is what a manager means to me. This is where I want to work. This is the kind of job environment I want. She even went down to the point of what kind of neighborhood she wanted to live into, where she wanted to work the whole bit. Okay, and this is the thing, too. People think, well, you got to go out there and fill applications. No, not really. It depends on your faith, okay? If you feel like it's what you got to do, you still have to have some kind of definition behind it. But this lady here, in particular, this is what's so great about the story, but she wrote all this stuff out and basically delivered it to the universe. And I think she actually burned it, which is like, imagine burning a piece of paper and the smoke itself. mm-hmm. is delivering it to spirit. Okay, that your intentions, you're so positive with those intentions, you're putting it out there in the universe. And that's a good way to do it. Burn it.
Okay.
Because it's like all that stuff is going out. You're sending it out there, okay? Or you can do like most people do. They have a tendency to take that visual. They make it. They do a visualization. They surround mm-hmm. it in a pink bubble, and they send it to God and the angels. Or they send it out to the universe to collect energy, to actually manifest it into reality.
Okay?
Okay? Now, she never filled out an application or nothing. Okay? All she did was did what she just did. She wrote it down. And there's actually a book out there. I cannot remember the freaking author, but I think you can find it on Amazon as much as you can find the super beings. And if you're sitting there looking at John Randolph Price's stuff, and there's some other things that jump out at you,
okay,
try to get those too, because that's actually a sign from your own angels going, this will be good for you, give you some insight. And don't freak out if you're a person that reads a book and you don't read the whole thing. What happens with most people is when you get on that kind of level, you're looking for a solution. As soon as you get that information out of the book and you feel like you're done with it, you're done with it. You've gotten the information out of that one. Probably go on to the next one. But it's good to have books because you can always go back to a reference. But
I know.
This woman,
you know, I'm a book collector. I am an avid book collector. My husband,
yeah,
my husband
to give me another
is sick of it.
Because I'm getting a lot of books, too.
I collect books and I collect commemorative magazines and things like that. Mm-hmm. I like old things.
Yeah, let me tell you one thing. This lady... What happened with her was 2 weeks later, she got two job proposals from two companies she never even applied for.
Really?
Yeah, the opportunity.
The universe opened it for her, just opened her up, huh?
Yeah, so sometimes if you feel compelled to express something to somebody, they might be
mm-hmm.
the catalyst that actually goes to somebody and says something to them, and then they start doing a little check on you and find out, yeah, we want this person to work for us, and that's what happened. And she basically, by making that decision and being so firm in it, and putting her foot down and saying, okay, I'm going to really sit down and write out what I really want. That's what she got. I think she was even surprised of the neighborhood she got. Because
really?
It was non-dramatic. People, you know, a lot of respect. People not in your business. They were just good neighbors. There's a difference from being in someone's business to actually being there when someone needs help.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I get with you, because I don't know how much time we have left, because, you know, we're down to almost like non-existent time. But I'm just saying,
okay.
That's the
Can
thing.
Can I ask you something real
right.
quick about my family?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. My siblings, my parents are on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And since my mother passed, a lot has happened. Are you able to tell me if you think it's going to be okay?
Oh, I get the impression it's definitely going to be okay. I would even sit there and say your parents have a different perception since they passed over in the spirit. They look at things differently now, going, hmm. It's like when people teach you things and they pass them on to you, it also resonates with them too. If it's right or wrong, good or bad, kind of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there were certain things like your mother, and she was telling you certain things. Even when she was telling you those things, it didn't resonate with you. And it didn't, almost like it didn't click until she passed over, going, I could have proceeded in a different direction. It's almost like passing over, not just seeing your life go before you, but seeing
mm-hmm.
all the choices you could have made. It's like seeing all the choices you could have made, but also realize everything happened the way it did, because you can only make decisions according to what you know. But they were, it's almost like when your guides and angels are giving you information, sometimes...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is because you're not living it. As soon as you make a choice, everything has good or positive energy, or good or negative energy. So sometimes we look at the situation, the back past experiences, going, that's not more positive than going out with the person I did.
Excuse me, I sneeze. I know
okay.
what you're saying. I'm just trying. Right now, I know we're out of time, too. When does your show come on again?
I will be here tomorrow night at 9.
9 when? That's
9 Mountain Time.
Mountain Time, because I'm on the East Coast.
2 hours difference.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, or I'm trying to just get an understanding of where we're going with this
uh-huh.
with this estate and how it's going to work out, because a lot of things have happened since my parents passed. specifically my mother. She was the last one to go. And I was, you know, really wanted to see if my spirit guides could send me a message on what really to expect.
Well, the thing I get the most is the idea of expecting what you want to expect. I've had too many stories of too many people who sit here and focus on the situation and say, okay, it's like my guys keep asking me, or I even get cards sometimes that says, what, you know, focus on what you desire.
Right.
And focus on nothing else. Let go of anything negative that might actually work against you. And just open up to expect what you just put out there. To realize you create your world. You create your existence and your reality. Once you start seeing those things, then you'll start looking at situations of what can I do. Because most of you right now are going, I can't do nothing. That's just the way the world is. That's an excuse.
Okay.
I got to blame somebody else because it's just not working, not realizing. If you go inside yourself and go, okay, why is it not working? What's holding me back? I had a nice meditation that kind of freaks people out, but because it's very powerful. But very simple. It's just the idea of bowing your head, focusing on the space behind your heart, where they say that's where our connection, our God essence is at. And just keep saying to yourself, do a nice little breathing exercise where you breathe in. As you breathe out, you go, I am love. And as you say, I am love, feel a vibration in your chest and allow yourself to go there. This is actually taking you more deeper inside yourself to connect with yourself. So when you look in the mirror, you go, that's me. No more looking. Because what you've been looking for has always been in front of you the whole time. It's the ideal of perfection. I told this one lady, I said, you're whole, perfect, and complete. And she's, oh, no. I said, I'm sorry. This is not for debate. It's a fact. How can I see that? It's like I told a woman one time. I don't think she caught it as a compliment. I think she might have. I don't know. Never had a chance to get that kind of confirmation. But I looked at her and I said, you know something? I'm a great, awesome, fantastic person. And I said, you know how I know that? And she was like, how? Because I met you. The perfect reflection.
Wow.
And when we look at the idea of the word reflection, we can also get that reflection in the mirror. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, I had a lady tell me, she goes, well, you're egotistic, aren't you? I said, you didn't catch it, did you? You reflect me as much as I reflect you. So therefore, when you see me as this awesome person, you're really seeing yourself. And if you're not embracing that right now, you can definitely see the potential of who you are. So it's always been there. It's just the idea of taking that simple technique to connect with it. Yeah, get that book by John Randolph Price, The Super Beings. Also get the one, Angels Within Us. The Angels
Eagles
Within Us.
Within Us.
Well, no, there's another one called Angels Within Us. It's talking about the 22 angels that actually back up the 22 higher arcana in the tarot deck. To understand that each one of those cards is backed by an angel, which you can actually look at people going, those cards are evil. No, they're not. They're backed by angels, and you can actually recite it. It's actually in the back of the book. It tells you which card and which angel are together, like the angel of abundance, the angel of loving relationships, not romantic. It says loving relationship, which means all relationships are important, not just the romantic one. And if you make all your relationships in your life important, then the romance you've always wanted, you will know because you will recognize it. But it starts with you first. But there's 22 major arcana, and each one of those cards is backed by an angel. And I actually have an angel tarot deck, which I actually have the angels on the cards themselves. So I don't have that new one with me. But it's like the sun card is backed by Archangel Uriel, but also the angel, I think this is, there's a lot of them, but I know the, like Archangel, the lover's card is backed by Archangel Raphael. But it's also backed up by Gemini, which means when you have balance between the twins represent masculine and feminine, the right side and left side of your brain, materialistic and spirituality. So it shows you the core of what you need to, people are looking for the idea, how can I balance myself? So when you start looking at those situations, you have balance between your physical and your spiritual, your giving and your receiving, your doing and your being, structure and flow. Once you get those in balance, you'll start seeing things for what they are. So therefore, like I told the last lady, we don't have to recognize what dimensions are. We don't have to figure out what our abilities are. We'll start using these things just like we do when we lift our right arm. We just do it. no thinking about it. You don't actually constantly say, okay, right arm, move.
Right.
See, I've noticed a lot of people, I've actually worked with a lot of people on their abilities, and that's what they think. They've got to focus on, I've got to focus on my clairvoyant ability. I got to see this. When they know, what you do is you just take a deep breath and open yourself up to what you see, hear, and know, and feel. There's another one, too. What's it called? Tasting and smelling. Those are also psychic abilities, too. I've actually done the smelling one a couple of times where I can smell watermelon and smoke.
You say tasting and smelling?
Yeah, there's also psychic ability. I can't remember the exact names because there's also clairvoyant, which is being clear seeing, clear audience, clear hearing, clear sensing, clear feeling. And there's another one called claircognizance, which means clear knowing, the ideas and thoughts that come to us. And then we have the one for smelling, because I can't remember. But we also have one where we can touch things with our hands. I think it's called psychometric.
Are we still on air?
No.
So none of this will be on the tape? Like in the audio?
No. No, every time, until they cut us off, everything's being recorded. So you can go back into the whole thing if you didn't catch things at first.
Right, but what we're listening to now is not being recorded.
No.
No, because what you're telling me, I'd like to learn more about it.
Yeah. Everything's being recorded. So if you want to go back into this conversation we're having right now, you'll also hear it too.
Okay, good, because I missed some of the things that you were saying.
And then I said what I was saying before, but we're running out of time, which means I'm running out of time because
I know.
It's like I've been on for 2 hours, so almost 2 hours. So I'm just like, I got to go.
Okay. But thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's one of the situations, too, so I'm going to give it information out to everybody else. If you ever want to get a reading with me, okay, a private reading, since you listen to this show, you can get a private reading for only $1 a minute. All you got to do is call 740-500. And like I said, it's $1 a minute. One lady called me and she goes, $1 for a reading? I said, you haven't been listening. No, it's not $1 for a reading. It's $1 a minute.
8863.
And the phone number is 740-500-8863. The website is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. I tell people, go in there. The special that we have with the show is not on there. So you'll see that, like, for a 75-minute reading, it might be the same. I think it was 45-minute reading, $75, and so on and so on. But
so
I tell people,
What do you read? The tarot card?
It depends what you want to do. I have perfected. If I can actually take one angel card and do almost a 15-minute reading with just one card, so you can imagine what I can do with seven. And I also build pyramids. I build pyramids with my cards, so it's more than seven cards. That's just a seven-card foundation. And there's different variations, too. It's like a five-card. There's a five-card pyramid, a three-card pyramid. Sometimes I've actually done four and six. Okay, so it depends on what I'm actually guided to do. Okay, so everything's perception.
Could I ask you a personal question, though? In all honesty, when you do a reading and if you're tired, do you think that it's better for you to do it when you are fresh and awake or when you're exhausted?
No, actually, I was doing a reading for a friend of mine, and I'd been up all freaking night. I was talking to her, and I fell asleep. And she said, I woke up, and she was like, was you asleep the whole time? I said, well, I lost about 20 minutes, so I think I was. And she was like, that's creepy. I said, why? She goes, I asked you questions the whole time, and you answered every one of them right on the money.
Really?
So I was like, okay, I guess I can do readings. And I've noticed that when I'm really tired, I'm just wide open. So my perception is like up like 10 times more. I just can't do that all the time, so
that's
really hard on me.
It has to be.
Well, they said Nostradamus used to do that. Nostradamus used to sit there and keep himself awake to get him into that kind of a state, and he would actually use a bowl of water where he would, that's like scrying, where he would sit there and look at the surface of the water, and he would see vision. He also used to sit on a chair that was a tripod, three legs.
Okay.
It was also made of copper, I think. It was made of copper and that kind of stuff. So people have done a lot of things, and I do think we've progressed a lot from those points of view that we're actually more of a grounded, might sound crazy to some people, but I think a lot of us are more grounded than we was back in the day. it was actually said that at one time, too, they were reading some old literature of people, how they used to perceive the Mediterranean. They never saw the Mediterranean. They never saw the Mediterranean as a blue body of water. They used to talk about burgundies and purple. So they're thinking even our eyesight is now more open to more of the spectrum of color, which we've all progressed and that kind of thing, which means we're actually, if you sort of think about that, most people were really into a lot of spiritual stuff, but are also thinking about the ideal, a different perception of humble, which means they didn't have anything. That's their perception. You're not allowed to have anything. So therefore, their spectrum of their eyes were also limited too, that they only saw certain colors. And now we can see a bigger spectrum of color, which we can actually see that body of water is blue. Because if I've looked at that freaking body of water, I don't see any burgundy in that thing at all. But it's kind of funny, back people back in the day who used to live there had a different perception and different color. So now we have all these things in our hands. It's just for us to open up to the idea of attracting everything and anything we need. I've actually people come up to my shop who've actually sit and looked at me and said I was guided to come here. And that can be really stressful, because that can put a lot of pressure on you going, whoa, you're actually guided here?
Can I share one thing with you?
Yes, sure.
I had a situation. I'm looking at, I'm wondering, should I just call you back on your line? I had a situation where after my mom died, I kept being guided to park in front of this house that's a foreclosed home. I mean, I just would leave my job, my lunchtime, and drive a couple of blocks and park in front of this home. And for about 9 months, it took me like 9 months to locate my mother's will. And the will was in dispute when it finally went to court. And the person who wrote the will, the person who, not the lawyer wrote the will, but the clerk or whatever who witnessed the will, one of two people, lived right at the house, right next door to the house where I would park. And each time I went there, I didn't go there because I wanted to go sit in front of this house. I know afterwards, months later, that I found out that I kept going there because I was guided to that location. Had no idea whatsoever that the one person who is still alive since 1973 lived right next door to that house.
Crazy,
I mean,
huh?
Lived right next door. Had no idea. And I mean, it's one of the, because everyone just assumed, even the attorney said, because we knew that the original attorney had died, and another attorney took over his practice, but he's been in practice for X amount of years, and they don't have to keep certain records of the previous attorney over like a 7-year period. The person who actually worked in the lawyer's office, who actually signed, she's one of the witnesses. There's four people besides my parents. And the two witnesses were the people who worked in the law office. I never knew them a day in my life. And she lives right next door to that house where I just parked up in front of it. Never knew. I did not meet that lady until she was subpoenaed several times to come to court.
Wow.
And it was the strangest thing, because after she came to court, when I even learned of her, was after she came to court. Because my brother located her, too, you know, via Facebook. And lo and behold, when I said, well, where did this woman live? And lo and behold, the address where he told me, it just, like, knocked me off my feet. Because I went there several times within that 9-month period, and I just parked up in front of that house, that abandoned house. So right next to the abandoned house was my mother, was the witness to my mother's will.
So it worked in your favor, right?
Yes, it worked in my favor. It proved that it was her will, because the woman remembered, you know, that the authentic paper, the will was never opened until it went to court. But, of course, you know, people who were not on the will, they're still disputing it and making a big mess of it because, you know, they're not on the will, but they're claiming legal fees in the meantime. And it's costing, it's draining the estate.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't have any money from this, but doesn't mean I can't delay it for a while.
Yeah, I've been delaying it for 2.5 years. That's wicked.
People are spiteful.
Yeah. But that one witness, and it's been proven in court already, that one witness, and I never knew that woman. I was stunned by it.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
Yeah. But I don't want to hold you too long because I know you probably have a lot to do.
Yeah.
I really want to go back in the show and listen because I heard you talking about, you know, Raphael and Uriel. I really want to go back and listen and learn more about it.
Yeah. If you have any questions or anything like that, I got all the freaking literature and everything. Get you some more books if you need to. But definitely love to do a private reading for you, too, as well.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Now, how do you do that? You have to go through PayPal?
Yeah, what you do is we ask you to decide on a price. So like I always tell people, how much do you think you're going to do it for? So if you think maybe 30 minutes, $30. And then you, since we're arranging a certain price, you won't find it on there. So what you do is you go to the donation button.
Okay.
Just,
what
just
page
push
is
donation.
That? That's what I need to see. What page is that? Psychic Journeyman, psychicxjourneyman.com.
Yeah, it's my website.
Okay.
And they got all the buttons on there for you for PayPal and stuff like that.
Okay, I got you.
All you got to do is push the button.
Push the button.
Donations and stuff, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Very much. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. All right. That's our show for tonight, so I'll talk to you all later, and you guys have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 9 Mountain Time. Bye-bye.
I apologize. Were you broadcast?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Goodness. I wonder who's out there now.